Hey guys, welcome to the Martial and Healing Arts channel. I'm Rafe Kelly, founder of Evolve Move Play. I'm extremely excited to be sponsoring this channel. Martial and Healing Arts have been key aspects of embodiment and self-cultivation for thousands of years. I have some of my best friends in the industry, Rory Miller, Matt Thornton, Edward Hines, presenting here, and I'm really excited to share what they have to say with you guys. You're gonna love it. So Evolve Move Play is an ecology of practices of movement, mindfulness, nature connection, and community. And within the movement, we have a big emphasis on moving in nature and being able to do parkour. We also like to lift weights and throw things around, but there's a huge aspect of martial arts, and I've been training martial arts since I was 6 years old. So it's really exciting to be able to sponsor this channel in particular. If you're interested in my work, check out my talks on the Main Stage and the Movement Anatomy channel. If you can't get to either of those live, you can check us out at Rafe Kelly on Instagram, get all your awesome embodiment giveaways. And for now, just enjoy this amazing channel. It's gonna be an awesome show.
Hey everyone, hey, welcome to Art as Medicine. I feel really very, very, very nourished before we've even begun being in the presence of you three. It just feels like I've been looking forward to it like a treat. And we were asked before we started just now whether we'd like to be formally introduced, and we thought what might be really lovely to do is to talk about what we really like and appreciate about one other person, and then they can pass the baton on. And we've got a little bit of a format that will become, that'll kind of repeat itself maybe once or twice as a format in different ways throughout the session. Does that feel like a good place to start, guys?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Great. So Dave, I'm going to kick the ball off and talk about what I love about what you do and how you impact me with your work, which is definitely art medicine for me, your work. There's something about how your authorial voice comes through your language. It feels like your heart and your the grit in the voice, to borrow from Brooke's phrase from her course a couple of weeks ago, the grit in the oyster is so alive in you and so raw in how you find expression, and you're so bold. And I know you've said you don't feel bold when you do it. It just feels very kind of natural for you, which I think is even more of a gift, right? Like how it lands in me is raw and alive and urgent and necessary. And so Dave makes flow poetry and teaches flow speaking and is a mentor and a coach. Yeah, am I getting this correct?
Oh yeah.
That's good. Yeah. And I have loads of respect and admiration for him. He's feels like a creativity brother. In fact, I feel like I'm here with brothers and sisters tonight.
Beautiful. Thank you. Where I come from in Ireland, bold means naughty rather than brave most of the time. But
I quite like that too.
So interesting, like you're saying all those beautiful things and I was feeling really touched by all of it. And then you started talking about, you know, like what I do for a living, and my brain just switched off straight away. It was like, oh yeah, blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to talk about Brooke, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Brooke, I'm just going to pin you. Brooke McNamara is also a poet and also a teacher, and she writes these very, very gorgeous, for me, very, very distilled poems which manage to really balance human frailty and messiness and heartbreak, and also a sense of the divine, like the divine is just woven naturally through the fabric of everything. She has a gorgeous, graceful way of putting that together in all of her work. I've been really lucky to be a guest teacher on a couple of her programs, and I really noticed how she created such an incredibly safe and connected space where there was just a level of sharing, like shared enthusiasm, shared inspiration, shared healing going on between all the members of the group, that I was really touched by how beautifully she had set it up. I think it's quite rare and quite special to see a group feeling so held together in that. She does lots of other beautiful things too. Mm-hmm. lots of job titles. check her out. Check her out in her many forms.
Thanks, Dave. It feels good. I so prefer that to introducing myself. Thank you. I get to talk about Jamie Catto. I love you, Jamie. Jamie, I don't know your work that well as like an actual artist. I know your book, Insanely Gifted, which I listened to you reading it on Audible on lots of long walks and at the gym when I used to go before COVID. And I think I texted you after every time I would be listening to it because I would laugh out loud. Like I literally would like shake my head and be like, I really think you're funny. I think all of you guys are funny. And that's like such a way into my heart. But your book makes me laugh and cry. And I so appreciate that about you, like your super tender heart, and then your very irreverent boldness in the Irish sense. You're mischievous and naughty and also completely, you know, like tender teddy bear. And I love that whole range in you. And I love your care. I've reached out to you for your perspective on things and you've been so available to me. You've been a friend from the very beginning. And so I just love you. I'm always so excited to get to connect with all of you guys and with you, Jamie. And he's a filmmaker and a musician and a writer, among other many roles, father, friend.
Lover.
Mischief maker.
Oh, that's so nice. I'm going to sit with that for a minute. Yum, 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 yum. Oh, God, it's so great to be here with you, gang. My favorite Fab Four. Love it. And I love you all so much. And I love that I get to introduce Rachel, who is this just beautiful beacon of soft mess. And just, you know, I'm always hoping everybody that comes through our doors, always use the phrase being a walking permission slip. And there's no one that embodies that more than Rachel. You know, she's got so many beautiful avenues that she expresses her artistic humanity. Just as a woman, just look at that face, just look at it, look at that smile. That's enough. You don't have to say anything. Look at it. It's just looking at it just says everything. But you know, her beautiful museum of tiny failures and the Still Point Theatre, just so many expressions of places where the extraordinary meets the ordinary. And that's just something I personally really strive for, is like not having to generate love, not having to live in a world where we have to do things to be loved, but we just are loved. And we don't have to be extraordinary, but our extraordinariness in our uniqueness comes through in the most beautiful, ordinary ways, and so that no one is left out. And I always just feel profoundly healed when I'm around Rachel and her work and her vibe and all four of you. You know, just we all represent this common thread of the welcome of the ordinary, and how that no one has to be working it or pushing their specialness or selling anything. Just show up exactly as you are, and that is the greatest beauty of all, when you really, really are right here and present as you are. And so to have all three, four, you know, to have us all together and to be with you three, it just feels so relaxing, because nothing is ever expected. We find the beauty in a toenail. We'll find the beauty in a spilt child's plate of food. We're just, whatever's going on, our lens, our filter seems to make the beauty and the treasure rise to the top. And it's such a beautiful way to meet life. And I love you, Rachel.
Oh, thank you, Jamie. I got a little bit blushed. I went a little bit red. Thank you so much. It's very difficult to take in nice things about yourself sometimes, isn't it? When we first had that invitation of like, say something that you really appreciate about someone, and I'm so holding that place for each of you in each of the sharings about you, and then it gets to my turn, and it's a challenge to open to it. So thank you.
Casual.
Yeah, thank you. And there's something there that you said that I'd love to pick up and send into the next part of our exchange. And it's the title of your Ram Dass film, Jamie, The Becoming Nobody. I love the invitation. It feels like in culture, maybe Western culture, there's an idea of the arts sitting in some kind of elite place, or a place where you have to train very hard and work very hard and be very disciplined in order to be good or something. And that feels like a distortion, a bit like classical ballet might be a distortion of the urge to freaking move and dance, right? Like the medicine, I'm really interested in the medicine of art being in the everyday. And I really feel like each of you know that and practice that in your work. And so we had an idea that what might be a really lovely way to kick off a deeper exploration of this theme is going around the circle again. So I'll ask Dave, and Dave asks Brooke, and Brooke asks Jamie, and Jamie asks me this question of art as medicine. What does that mean to you in your life right now? So today, in this moment where you find yourself, what does that sentence mean? Where is the medicine in art for you? What does art as medicine mean today for you, Dave?
Thank you. Yeah, I noticed how all of our introductions of each other kind of added up to like a subliminal disclaimer that we're not really offering to, like, you know, give any kind of results or whatever on this. It's like, oh, just really ordinary, kind of like not bothering, basically, that's us. I enjoyed that. It's always good to completely shatter all the expectations from the beginning. Yeah, I've been asking myself all day, actually, because I always have dozens of different answers. And in this moment, you know, the thing that comes to me, I've had times in the last few months where I've been very lonely. And often in my loneliness, well, I find myself remembering times when I've been together with lots of people all singing. I'm used to group harmony singing in a way where there's lots of different parts that are all put together, and there's something about all of the parts, you know, mashing together in your ears that mean that it's impossible to actually stay in an ordinary state of consciousness and still actually still receive the song. So that you either have to fight the weave of the harmonies or surrender to it and, you know, get your head kind of knocked off. And I've spent a lot of years being with groups, singing these kinds of songs where there was this very explicit invitation where we could all just break down and weep. So I don't know like how many, maybe hundreds and hundreds of times I've been in a space where there's a group of people all standing around, their arms around each other's shoulders, they're all singing together. And at any given time, like kind of some fraction of that group are down on the floor, like pounding the earth, weeping, you know, ugly crying, snot flying everywhere. Everyone's sharing tissues. It's like one minute, you know, you're holding somebody up and you're so strong, and then like you fall apart and then they grab you. And there's this concept in music called the angel note, which is, I think it's like this note that appears on top of all of the other notes that are being sung, and it's not being sung by anyone. It just
emerges. Harmonic, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And like I've really seen that with suffering when I'm in those places, or with trauma. It's like in one moment your trauma might be kind of center stage when you're the one blubbering, But a couple of minutes later, suddenly it's like the baton gets passed and somebody else is falling apart and you're feeling great and you're beaming love at them. And so there's no sense of being either like especially fucked up or especially adored. And there's also no sense of grief being a big deal. And so when I've been lonely in the last few months, I've just been remembering that I've been in spaces like that with people over and over again. I'm feeling so lucky to have even known that that's possible for human beings. Remembering times when I've gone out alone into a field or a forest and sang a song, and it didn't sound as good, but you know, I still sang it, and I just had a cry with a tree or a bit of a river or whatever. And for me, the sense in which art is medicinal is where it becomes a way of remembering that we've always been a part of everything. I'm not making art in order to impress or amaze or be special or to win something, but making art as a way of just like coming back home to the fact that we've always actually been together and it's always been okay. Because, you know, like I can feel the loneliness in me now these days and the fear, like, you know, wondering how long it's going to be or if it's going to be that I'm just going to be able to, you know, touch everyone freely again. Wondering what kind of world we are walking towards. And finding ways through song, through poetry, through story, through moving, finding ways to come to that place in my body where like all of this is still okay. The place in me that it gets beyond my stories and it completely trusts. I don't know how I'm doing time-wise or...
Yeah, I was just thinking that actually and looking, and I think we're good. Yeah, I think if we kind of keep it at about 10 minutes each, I think that gives us a little bit of time at the end too. So,
yeah, well, we could do like little 4-minute blasts and make a few rounds and see how the question changes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might be nice. Yeah. Yeah, lovely. Do you want to hand the baton on, Dave? That's lovely, lovely reflections. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So, Brooke, what does art as medicine mean to you right here and now?
I always have so much to say, and right now I just feel really quiet and tender and so grateful to be with you guys. I mean, just the inquiry itself feels like that's my life. This my whole life is like feeling scared and disconnected, and then one way or another, spontaneously or through like a friend or ally, whether it's you guys or like a critter in nature or a night sky, something reminding me that there is that I can like crack the shell again. And, you know, however I've solidified that shell, like however I've started to do Brooke in a way that feels like I'm minding the rules and I'm not going to get in trouble and I'm going to survive, like whatever ways I start doing this whole thing in a way that I think is the right way. I feel like art is always a permission to find my real voice, whether it's in poetry or in movement, like actually break the rules and be a bit wilder and crazier and not ununderstandable. And it's so counterintuitive every time I sit down to create or every time I spontaneously start creating, because I think this is really this is really out there. This is really uncensored. I'm never going to show anyone. If I showed anyone, they would think, you know, that I'm weird or whatever. And it's always those times that then when I get the courage up to share those expressions that I reconnect like you were saying, Dave, I was so moved about art as a way to remember we're always together. We already have what we need. And it's so, that is so true, but it's so easy to forget. And I actually, I have this poem that I wrote that's just like really wanting, I feel like it will say all of this better than I can. And it's kind of, it's like, read me. So I'm just going to read this and maybe that's enough for this round, because this sort of captures the cycle of like disconnect and then creative practice as a way of breaking gently or more dramatically, breaking down the walls that I've built or that have calcified through life to reconnect. And honestly, it's so simple and it's so fucking cliche, but my driving intention these days, it used to be really fancy, my intention for making art, and now it's not. It's just connection. It's just connection. And it's, when I remind myself that, my ego quiets, my fear quiets, and it's like, yeah, it's just, it's connection, you know, in all the ways that connection can come. So this is a poem I don't think I've ever read out loud. And it's called To the Ancient One. To the Ancient One. I feel like I'm gonna cry. So let me just take a sec. I always cry when I'm on these panels with you guys. I don't think I've ever not cried with you.
So beautiful.
It feels so good. All right. After I sent you away, I found your bright thorn growing in my throat. Shocked by the piercing when I bent my head to pray, I jumped to hunt the salve anywhere possible outside myself. But last night by accident, I prayed so strong, it punctured, penetrating the center here, and the holy serum flowed from the inside. Finally, finally, I know this. You did not send the pain to punish, but to beg my head to bow more deeply into this flood of brilliant self-love. So it's just the way that making is...
Thank you. Thanks.
You're welcome. It's just that over and over. It's like, I find myself grasping in all the ways to avoid all the things I want to. And then somehow creative practice always brings me right into contact with what I need to feel, maybe don't want to. And then that like reintegration, it's like the original meaning of religion, religione, like to remember it, like it forces me lovingly to remember all of what I am. And that to me is healing. It's wholing. I find people saying that word a lot lately, wholing rather than healing. It just allows me to include more of myself and life. And
I like that, wholing.
Yeah. I didn't get it at first. And then my friend wrote it out more in her blog. And I was like, oh, I get it. Yeah, that's cool. I mean, it puts the thing that needs to be healed into the perspective of like my whole self, which is, you know, when everything's included, that little problem might find its right place rather than me focusing on it and just trying to fix that. That's not what I'm saying all healing is or how people perceive healing to be, but thanks for listening. I'll pass it to you, Jamie, my friend. How I know this a little bit, but I'm curious, now that you're in Greece working on a new album, how's it going? How is art medicinal to you right now in this very process that you're in?
Thank you. That poem is amazing. Maybe is there a link, or is it in one of your books, or you could put in, everyone loved that poem so much, you could write in, either copy and paste it or put a link to it, or put a link to the book in the thing so everyone can come and get your book and have that poem. Put it in the thread. So yeah, I'll try and find the quickest and least heady way that I can express this. For me, it's kind of selfish. Having this year gone through a really surprising heartbreak of a breakup, it seems totally disproportional to the length of time I was with this person that I would be still months later just spending large stretches of the day, just a total resistant, confused mess. And what I learned, I once saw this therapist years and years ago when I was married, and he said to me, because I was feeling the same kind of abandonment and terror and sort of just turmoil around my ex-wife. And he said to me, "You really love her, don't you?" This therapist said. I said, "Oh God, yeah." He goes, "She's amazing to you, isn't she?" I was like, "Yeah." He goes, "Like, she's like the goddess to you, isn't she?" I was like, "Oh my God, yes, that's exactly it." He goes, "Well, we could do some psychotherapy together, but I don't think you have a psychological problem. I think you have a spiritual problem. You're not meant to get that from another human. You're meant to get it from God or from the divine or from your genius. You're not meant to try and get that feeling that you're saying you're getting from this woman from a person. They're never going to deliver it consistently. Then they're not meant to." And I realized I was kind of getting something. I was trying to source something that I wasn't meant to source. I was trying to get something that I wasn't meant to get, whether it be that feeling of everything's okay or that feeling of safety or that feeling of home. No other human can be scaffolding for our soul in that way consistently. They're always going to fail and they're always going to feel burdened unless we're sourcing it from our own connection to the divine or our own connection to our art, which is the same thing. Because when we make art in the right way, we're opening a channel to receive the great spirit. And C.S. Lewis, who wrote the Narnia books, he talks about prayer in the Screwtape Letters. True prayer isn't when we're talking to God and talking to God and talking to God. True prayer is when we stop talking and empty and let the energy come in the other direction and pour down into us. We each become a cup like the Holy Grail. We each get filled. That's where we source from the art or from God. And when we're generous, I believe that when we make our art, it's kind of a devotional act. I'm giving myself to the art. Like I'm giving myself to my kids. It's not I'm trying to get something from my art. I give myself to it. And so this is a very wobbly, convoluted way to say that I just realized as I was going through such a mess this year emotionally, and that I needed to give myself to something instead of sit there wondering why I wasn't being given what I wanted. I needed to give to, and I decided to give myself to an album. And when we're generous like that, when we're devotional like that, weirdly, when we give, really give, then another pipe opens up where we get poured into. So that's what I mean by doing it selfishly. Like I'm making this album so that if I truly am devotional to this music we're making this week, then it opens the channel whereby I get filled, but I get filled from the right place. I've been trying to fill myself from the wrong place this year. And it's caused all kinds of problems and all kinds of old wounds that I've been repeating my whole life. So making art this week as medicine for me is a way to put myself in a situation where I'm making the energy flow correctly again, so that I'm sourcing that feeling of connection from the channel of music, from the channel of art, from the channel of flow that happens when I give myself fully to art, in this case, music. And while I'm making the music, I feel good. You know, where this album is an album of humming. And I find humming is a way to really sort of move energy in my belly and in my heart. When I hum, I can feel the resonance in my rib cage. So I'm humming my feelings into this album and giving myself and my taste and my dedication and my devotion to the music sounding good. And in so doing, and that channel coming through and the music waking itself up and playing itself to us here, I'm now adjusting the energy flow so that I'm receiving from the right place rather than trying to get it from the wrong place, which would be another person. And it's working a little bit, and then other times I lose it, and then other times I get it again, and other times I lose it. Yeah, I'm very much dipping in and out of getting it and feeling the flow of being part of the musical channel. And then sometimes I'm just like, where am I? What's going on? Like my ego jumps in and I'm sort of lost again. I've lost the throw quick, you know. To be honest, I'm coming in and out of it. And I'm lucky to be on a beautiful island where it's sunny and there's sea and there's birds and there's everything I could need to be supported. I'm being incredibly abundantly held. I've got a beautiful friend who's producing the record with me. I've got musicians all over the place who can't wait to come and play and join in. I've got nature. I'm really abundantly treated, and I'm just watching the Jamie that's connected to the big channel and the Jamie that's disconnected and terrified all alone, and then the one that's connected and the one that's disconnected, and I'm just moving back and forth between the two and trying to bring kindness to myself. And whenever I slip, instead of going, oh, you slipped again, my practice is to say, how human of me, to be really forgiving about it. Go, oh, look, there you slipped again. How human. For me, art is medicine. It's about me adjusting where I'm sourcing my feeling of being okay from. And by being devotional to art, it helps me open the channel to source it from the correct place instead of take it from somewhere non-consensually and burden someone else to make it okay for me. Oh, wow, that was a very, very, very me version of it. But there you go. That's what you get. That's how I am right now.
It was really resonant. I thought it was really resonant, and that cycle is really familiar to me as well. And I think maybe it's part of just the human condition that I kind of find the flow of it and come out of it in some kind of cognitive distraction or whatever, and then, or life distraction or whatever, or turmoil, and find my way back in, sometimes without even realizing I'm back in it, you know. But that cycle feels really familiar, Jamie. Yeah.
How's art as medicine manifesting in your life in this moment?
Yes. Thanks, Jamie. I've just noticed a question. So I think my answer might integrate, Melanie, your question about, it's a beautiful question about when you're creating something and you know that you have to go to dark places, or I might rephrase that as dark places in a way, art can be a way of creating fissures into these places, right? And because that helps you heal and connect with your body. How do you recover faster from that adventure? I haven't written a song for a year because I'm afraid to dive in again. Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think my answer might touch on it. So for me, my urge to make art quite early in my life became about, it sort of came about as a need to have a release from the smallness of myself and the smallness of myself and the smallness of my little body, and wanting to free myself from the limits of this tiny point of consciousness that I found myself inhabiting. And so I found it, I could do that through inhabiting other voices and characters, and I could find other perspectives and other eyes, you know. That was kind of the first way I found my way into expression in a way, and freedom of expression. And there's something in your question there that touches on, for me, the medicine of art, it's a place that I can put things to, and it can, and together we can metabolize something. that is like a grit in the oyster for me, or something that I can't, I'm wrestling with. I'm wrestling and I can't put it down. And I kind of take it to bed with me, and I take it to dinner with me, and I take it to the toilet with me, and I can't work out how to put it down. And I know I've always got a clue when that's happening, that something's wanting to be born through it. You know, that if I can stay with it and breathe and kind of court it in a way that doesn't completely destroy things. I love this thing that Bayo Akamalafi talks about dismemberment and being undone. And I've, for a few days, I felt fucking undone. Like, I've been so tired and everything's happening at once, and we're moving house and everything's happening at once, and I can't seem to facilitate any flow with how everything's happening at once. And this feeling of being undone, like I don't have the answers at the moment in my little self, in my little experience of this small body, it's about to burst. And so how do I metabolize that? And the answer for me is often through moving and singing and listening to music is one of them. Like, it's so, like Dave said, it's so psychedelic for me sometimes. Just listening to music is trance work. Being inside dance is trance work. It's a place I can put where I am and trust that it will emerge on the other side of that somehow differently. I don't know how, but somehow it will be different. I don't know if that helps with your question, Melanie, but yeah. And I trust art to hold it for me instead of, or creation to hold it for me instead of little me, who is, like Jamie said, just a person fucking it up and coming out of it and getting distracted and kind of emotionally eating and falling asleep and, you know, all of these things that we all do, like we all do, because we're animals and we're human and no one's perfect. And that's pardon me, just before I pass on to you again, Dave, or we open it up or whatever we're doing next, I wanted to share a little story about, I've been really getting quite obsessed with this Indigenous actor called David Gulpilil, who you might know from Crocodile Dundee and Walkabout, but he's done lots of really fine films with this filmmaker, Rolf de Heer. He's co-written films with, they make films together, and they've been looking at his place in the world, where he comes from in Arnhem Land, and this Aboriginal community that he's a part of. And he says, all my people are artists, we're all artists, because it's what we live and we breathe every day. We breathe and we live together in ceremony, we sing together, we dance together, everybody's a dancer, everybody's a singer. And I think that's really interesting, that there's no separation in his mind about, there's no question that our art, being an art maker is inherent to his being, right? And I really would love us to renature ourselves in that way, in whichever way we can, however we can. Yeah, I feel like I've gone on and on and on. Was that useful, everyone? Good. Thanks, Dave. When did art become your medicine, that realization? And another question, what role do the panelists think that routine in their work and scheduling appropriate to sufficient downtime to enable creativity to exist in its own right? Is downtime ever sufficient? Oh, that's an interesting question. So that's kind of a question about purpose, being purposeful in, like, you know, you've gone to Corfu, Jamie, to make an album. It's like a purposeful, you've sort of exiled yourself to go and make an album somewhere beautiful.
I find, I know it's Dave's turn, but just to quickly leap in, I find that I need I don't know about downtime. My whole life is downtime in a way. But I do need, in order to make sure that I will get on with it, with the exception of my book, I need to book someone else to be there. Otherwise, if I just sort of leave it to, oh, I'll kind of do it when I feel the inspiration, I'll never kind of do it. I have to kind of schedule time that this is when we're doing production. And the way that I do that is I do it with someone else and I book the studio or the place. And and the person to show up at 11 o'clock. And then when they show up at 11 o'clock, it would be far too embarrassing to not get on with it. You can't just like book someone to show up and then just not do anything. So I kind of force myself to do it by making sure someone else turns up so that I don't really have a choice.
Yeah, there's someone you'll definitely let down if you don't turn up. Yeah, I do the same thing. I work with a producer and I book meetings that I don't know what they're about, but I know I have to have something ready by then. So, yeah,
cool. What about you, Dave?
You're making me think of what C.S. Lewis said about prayer as well, that prayer is actually what happens when we stop talking and then God falls back down into us. Yeah, almost all my great creativity happens when I stop doing things. And almost all of the rest of it happens when I hang out with other people and they force me to do stuff, because otherwise I'd be embarrassed and it would feel a bit pointless, just like you. I can sometimes remember, if I practice, I can actually remember that life itself is also a person, and that life itself wants me to be beautiful. It wants me to be poetic. It wants me to open up my throat and sing and give. And then I don't actually have to wait for another, you know, like bag of skin that looks like me in order to trick myself into believing that the moment is right, like the sky, the trees, the ground, everything. When I'm really in my body and really in myself, I can feel that life wants me to live as a gift of art, and that it's in my nature to do so, like it is with everybody. People help, but I don't think they're necessary. I would love to read a poem too, if that's okay, time-wise. It speaks to these things. This is called The Marriage of All Things. I dreamt I was awake. All flesh remembered that we're all always already connected to all flesh and all things. We consummated each other ourselves. We spiral staircase DNA to honeymoon suites where every mouth of love lay down with all other mouths, and we promised to promise ourselves over and over and told each other in no longer muted whispers, hoarse shouts, it's okay, love. It's okay, love. It's okay. Didn't even know what that means. Didn't know if this world was more asleep or fully awake. Knew. Like sunlight wants leaves and water wants soil. Some men want some men. Some women, some men. Some women, some women. Some men, some women. Some need neither. Both or beyond. One other, brother, sister, host. Just like songs want ears. Like fruits want mouths. Like paint wants canvas. Like soil wants seeds. Born reaching out. Born reaching out. Born reaching out. We knew, although nobody needs aspire to star. It hurts our throats when we don't sing. When we refuse to rule the kingdoms, the queendoms, and the queerdoms of our own heartbeats. We're cupping our hands around it like a meal almost alive again. A thoughtless yes to who we are. As ordinary as orchestras, galaxies. As ordinary as the trillions of solar neutrinos and particles passing through us in our dreams in this instant. As ordinary as the moron that I wake up as most days lately. As ordinary as the tiny green plants buckling concrete unseen under our feet on city pavements while we search for ourselves on screens. If the flesh of every human ever living could compress into a sugar cube without the gaps in our atoms, and if every angel that ever existed is somewhere kissing on the head of a single pin, then what is all this empty space between us actually for? What is all this space between us for? What is this space between us for? What is this space between us for, Brooke?
Just to let you know, guys, I think the panel, they might ask us to finish at 10:02. Is that right? Someone from the Martial Arts Channel. So we've got about 5 minutes to wrap up or kind of complete. That is so exquisite, Dave. Thank you.
I know that poem. I've heard you share it, and I'm hearing the last line that I think is the last line, which is, what is all this space between us for if not for reaching out? Or am I making that up? maybe that's my response.
Sometimes I say that.
Yeah, what is all this space between us for if not for reaching out? I'm thinking also of, like, I have such a vivid memory, you guys have probably heard me share this, of being a little girl and being either like this feeling of disappearing, like my mom said she could put me in the garden and I would sit there still for like a long time as a counter to my brother, this like older rough and tumble boy was always all over the place, and that I would sit here in the garden, like silent and still. So I was either completely connected or completely freaked out as a baby, as a girl. I remember that. And I remember like my lifelines that I started to feel were like, oh, when I'm dancing, that's a language where I feel okay. And I wrote my first poem when I was like 8 or something about my pet bird. And I was like, oh, when I'm writing a poem, that voice, that's me. I'm okay here if I use that voice. So I remember starting to feel that flow from the inside out. But I also, someone asked, like, when did you know that art was medicine in your life? I also remember, so distinctly starting to recognize it from the outside. Like I remember being a teenager and going to a dance performance in San Diego. It was a Jose Limon performance of his choreography. And then there was a guest piece by Doug Verone. I don't know if anyone's seen his choreography, but there was a piece called Possession done to the Kronos Quartet, Philip Glass song by the Kronos Quartet. And the way the dancers were moving, I was like, what are they doing? I get that. I know what they're saying. It was like that thing in Zen of like a finger pointing to the moon. I knew what they were saying about being alive, about reality. It was like all this like, you know, gestural stuff, but it was so internally motivated and so liberated. If anyone caught the Gaga session with Ohad Naharin this morning, it felt like that, like really a language that's like archetypal movement from the inside. And I remember getting so fucking charged in my own body. I was like, yes, 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 yes. I know that language. And I literally like went to the backstage and into the dressing room of the dance company afterwards, up to the dancer who moved me most. I was like 15. And I was like, I just had to say how amazing you were. I was crying. And so that's one of the moments where it's like, there's so much we can say in language. And obviously I love it. I love writing, and like when I hear you share your poetry, Dave, I feel that like using language to go beyond language, and I feel like that's what all genres of art do when they're working well and when they're working medicinally. They say things we can't say in words that help our bodies, like my body recognizes contagiously what's being expressed, and that feels like, okay, this is real. Life is real. It's not just walking around like being a robot. Like it opens up so many more pathways of connection and beauty. And I'm aware of time. I want to just pause. But yeah, it's a dialogue. It's a conversation. Like I remember that flow coming from in to out. And then I remember the moments when I felt it like come into me, like electricity. Like pure aliveness, and that's medicine. That's been medicine my whole life. Are we at time, or do we
recognize that too, Brooke? I really recognize those moments in my life, those moments where I feel like lightning's coming through me, mm-hmm. and it's impossible to not act. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've been given until 5 minutes to.
Yeah, so, you have 5 more. Yeah,
five more minutes. Thank you.
Yep.
I'm gonna pass it to Jamie, and Rachel, you brought up Jamie's documentary becoming nobody. And I, yeah, this quote has come up about like prayer is what happens when we stop talking. And I've always heard it, I've heard it as prayer is talking to the divine and meditation is listening. And I feel like I really started writing poetry when I started meditating. I would sit down and accidentally start hearing poetry, accidentally. And I think all of us like cannot separate what we might call our spiritual practice from our creative practice. However, whatever language we use, whether it's just like asking questions that are existential and then answering them creatively. And Jamie, I'm just so curious, you know, I've seen Becoming Nobody and I'm curious, like, what did you receive from Ram Dass that how is he in your work now? Or not?
Yeah, the film is kind of two threads. The main thread is just showcasing his beautiful wisdom and his sacred fool and his unpretentious comedy, beautiful transmission. And there's a kind of subplot of my conversation with him, which is a young guy that's come to get told that he's a good son by the old guy. Mm-hmm. And he said something to me at the end, which was a really poignant moment that I still slip out of, but you know, I have to remember. And it is about loneliness and connection. He goes, I'm just a projection of you. I'm just the thing you want to feel connected with. He said, because a lot of my stuff is like not feeling like I belong, not feeling like I'm welcome, not feeling like I'm connected to everything, that I'm on the outside. And a lot of the art I make is to reach out to people and say, hey, don't you feel this too? Mm-hmm. So like, it's a bid for intimacy, the art and the movies and the music I make. It's to feel connected to everyone so that they feel the same as me and go, oh yes, Jamie, I get that too. And we all feel family together. So it's like a bid for connection and intimacy. But it's a lot of it is coming from the fact that as an ego, as an individual Jamie in the world, I do feel very, like Dave said, lonely and disconnected sometimes. And where am I, you know? Anyway, he said to me, he goes, Jamie, I hang out with saints. I hang out with masters and ascended masters. I hang out with my family. I hang out with all these people here. And my spiritual family. And he said, and you're one of them. You're one of them. And you don't see that. You don't see that. And that's what I got. What I realized at that moment is the only person keeping me lonely is me and my framing of what's going on. Mm. What's keeping me lonely is the way that I'm looking at life, is me framing and having a meaning or a version of life where I'm lonely. It's my meaning that I'm giving it. If I choose to look at it that way, then I will be, there isn't a place for me at the table because that's how I'm looking at it. But I'm the only one keeping myself from the table. It's up to me to join in. It's up to me to consider myself part of it. It's not waiting for some invitation from someone else to say, you're special, you're welcome, we love you, come. Mm-hmm. You can wait your whole life for an invitation. And we have to stop using the lack of the invitation we're waiting for as proof that we're not part of it. Stop waiting for the world to show us we're welcome, but to just step into the feeling of being welcome and include ourselves, like you said at the end of the poem, and reach out, offer service, be part of it, join in. Even if you're taking the risk that you might get rejected, like when you were a child, you might get feeling silly, like when you were a child, it might be a bit lumpy or wonky like when you were a child, but no one's going to treat you as mean as when you were a child. Your parents often rejected you when you didn't do what they wanted. No one's going to do that right now. The adults are going to treat you more kindly than you were treated as a child. It's safer to join in now than it was when you were a child. And I just stop looking at myself as separate. Rachel,
I was just going to say, and not knowing what the fuck you're doing is part of it, right?
You're welcome.
Okay, great. This is a really like a great wrap up of the. I really enjoyed your. This is such an intimate and such a deep panel, and I hated that I had to look for the technical part during, and I couldn't totally commit to it. So just a few announcements before we wrap up. So the next session is gonna be in an hour. It's Breaking the Silence, The Making of a Protester with Dr. Janice Tatel. Between you can use the link to the coffee breaks, and you can join also the Facebook group, so you can comment on your experiences and your thoughts about the sessions. And also, there are so many lectures, and practically impossible to really watch them all, but you can own the recordings if you upgrade your account. And not only will you get the recordings of the sessions, you will also get the notes from the session, so you can just read them if you don't have time to watch the whole session, and the audio files, so you can just listen to it on the go like a podcast. And also, for those of you that really want to learn from this in a structured way, there is a learning list, so you can use this almost like university. And also, it's 50% off during the conference. So before the end, if any of the attendees wants to wrap this up with the just one top tip, there we have still have 4 minutes, so like one top tip for being maybe better with your own body.
I want to start with the invitation in terms of embodiment, that undoing might be a way in to art being medicine for you. Just as a little provocation there.
Yeah, and I would say, I would echo what Jamie and Rachel said in terms of finding friends and allies, that like my body gets more creative. My being gets more creative when I'm in the presence of another, and there's accountability and a little bit of nervousness in a good way. So I would encourage you to find classes, courses, friends, accountability, and then just start. And then it's innate. It'll just begin to flow. And thank you all for listening.
Jamie or
Dave, Jamie. David?
I would just say that in this world, whenever we feel something painful or we feel something edgy, we've been taught in this comfort addicted world that whenever we feel something edgy or painful, something's wrong.
Yeah.
And I would question that. I would reframe that and think, when we feel something uncomfortable or edgy, instead of feeling something's wrong and we need to get rid of it, we need to escape it, we need to suppress it, how about doing the exact opposite and turning towards it? Like it's a messenger, like it's got some treasure for you. Because we abandon ourselves. When I say, Jamie, your feelings are not okay to feel, I'm abandoning myself. So I'm learning to turn towards my feelings, even when they don't feel like they're exactly what I want. Turn towards your feelings, even when they're edgy. Ask them questions, dare to feel them, caress them, love them, and make them part of my wholeness. Because that's where a lot of the poetry and the art will come from, is the turning towards, not the escape.
Yeah, I would really love everybody, including myself, to extend that invitation to our bodies more often. Say, hey, how are you doing? Do you want to hang out with me? Do you want to talk to me? Do you want to lay here with me and tell me how you're feeling? Do you want to come for a walk with me? You want to be here with me right now?
May I just chuck one more quick thing in? The four of us have been loving doing this so much that we're actually going to do Art is Medicine as a monthly group.
Yes.
So we forgot to mention that.
This is so great. Thank you.
We're going to do this every month. So if you'd like to come and join in with us, I don't know how you'll find out what we're doing. Come to any of our websites.
Yeah, go to any of our websites and we'll all just put the word out.
Yeah. We're going to do it on November the
10th. Something.
It's definitely the
yeah. Great. This is really, really like the biggest thing and the most beautiful thing for, I think, for the attendees that you can give as a gift. Thank you so much.
November the 10th, see the next Art is Medicine. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Everyone. Love you guys.
Yeah, love you. Lots of love.